Hey, everybody. It's Ham Nation time. We've got Valerie back with a little recap on her cruise. We've got some special guests to tell you about Yoda Month. George is here with an Arduino project, and Bob shows you some more of his new digs back in St. Louis. And it's going to be a great show, and if you don't watch, we can't be friends. So here's Ham Nation. Ham Nation's brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they're making access and authentication seamless. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by FreshBooks, the number one accounting software in the cloud for self-employed professionals and their teams. Seamlessly create invoices from estimates in a flash. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/HamNation. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 437 for January 22nd, 2020. Yoda Month Recap.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. We're all tuned up to Ham Nation. We're going to have a whole bunch of good things. It's cold here in Illinois, but that's okay. We can handle it. No antenna work, although I did a little bit of something. We got some really special things tonight. We're going to have big news about the youth. We've been talking about the youth on over the last few shows. Well, tonight we get the whole works from Bryant and from Neil. So we'll get those in just a minute. Don is here. George is here. Amanda's here. And guess what? Valerie is here. And she's going to bring pictures and all kinds of stuff from her cruise. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're all ready. Before we do that, I need to kill a little bit of time. You know, we were talking here a week or two ago. I made an antenna. Remember this little deal? It's speaker wire. And I, of course, put a transformer in it. And I always like to use a transformer so that no ground is going to be messed up. It works really good on 20 meters. I'm working a guy in New York, I think it was. I get a text from the man, Mr. Fried Chicken, as I call him, Marty Soloway. He said, "Your signal's pretty good out here." And I can't believe it. I'm getting S9 10 over with good old speaker wire. But remember, we figured out what frequency it was, cut it to length, and what did it cost me? $3? Really cost me nothing because it was speaker wire I had. But I needed something on 20 meters to listen. I never realized that was going to happen, but it did. But that was fun. That was fun. I got a note, and I got to read this to you. We had a listener, a viewer, he really got his license because of Ham Nation. Through his teenage years, he got into electronics, but never really got over the hump to get his license until he started watching Ham Nation. Well, Steve passed away a couple of weeks ago, and I'm really, really sorry because I was hoping to have him on this show, but there we go. Time gets to us. And thanks to Todd Johnson, KD9BNQ, he let me know about that Steve, WA9SAS, is in a silent key, but he enjoyed his last years truly because of Ham Nation. And so those are all good things when things are really, really sad, that something came good in his life because of some of the things we did. And one other thing I'll let you see. This is what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. I'm going to give you a little runaround of what's going on here. I finally have it all working. I mean, everything. Here, some organ music I did years ago, and getting ready to do a CD of that. But all the consoles are working. All the rigs are working. I told you about the all of the switches last week. We went through all of that. If you missed it, go back and look at last week. Showed you how to switch all of this crazy stuff. But the other thing I did is I got some of my other things hung up. You'll see my beloved Collins sign. And up there in the corner is my Harvey Wells puzzle. That is a really cool thing that my friend down in the Carolinas did for me. He's a Harvey Wells buddy. And I wonder how come that's looking crooked, because it's not really crooked on the wall. The camera's crooked. But you can see the that's a puzzle. He took a picture of his Harvey Wells, and Sarah and I put that puzzle together. But all the stuff works. That's all vintage stuff and the AM stuff. It's all working great. And the central electronics is not wired, because we're going to take a little view of that. I have my wonderful reference map from 1956, and those are just priceless to me. There's the Pine board, and it's hooked up. I also have the Mars hooked up. So all of this crazy stuff is kind of like going. I'm very happy. Takes a lot of time to get it all together and make it all work the way you want. But that's what ham radio is all about. And I'm truly blessed to be able to have it all here and working. But now we got to work on some antennas a little bit. But what can I tell you? Well, we want to get on to some serious business here. And that's the YOTA was a huge success. And we brought the man on. Bryant's going to tell you all about what happened, because he was the leader, and he's been on several times, and I'm sure you know him. He was young ham of the year a couple years ago. Bryant, you're something special. KG5HVO, let us hear what went on and all of that activity that you are heading up.
Good evening, Bob. Thanks for having me here on Ham Nation tonight. It's great to be here to talk about Youth on the Air Month, which we recently concluded last December. It was a great success here in Region 2. We had 18 youth from the United States, Canada, and Chile get on the radio to tell the world about youth and amateur radio. So, Victor, yes, if you go ahead and get started with those slides. Here in the U.S. and the United States, we used 4 special event call signs to celebrate on all modes and all bands. Those call signs were Kilo 8 Yankee, Kilo 8 Oscar, Kilo 8 Tango, and Kilo 8 Alpha. Together, if you put the suffixes together, it makes YOTA for Youth on the Air. And we had 15 operators across the country use those call signs throughout the month of December. Shown here is Jack McElroy, a KM4ZIA, a very good operator from the Atlanta area. And he is shown here using the Kilo 8 Yankee call sign on the AO92 satellite. And he and his sister, Audrey, KM4BUN, made lots of contacts throughout YOTA month. And shown here is Khalil Bouzmi. He is from Tunisia and has been very active in the Youngsters on the Air program in Europe or Region 1. And over Christmas, he stopped by the Lee family's house. Everybody knows the Lee family, a very active ham family from Florida. And he joined them in operating the Kilo 8 Alpha call sign for a few days. So it was really cool to see him have fun with the special event call signs here in the United States. And here across the sea to South America, we had Matthias, CE2LR, use the XR2YOTA call sign to activate Chile. And he has a really cool story with Yoda Month. He actually met another young ham from South America, Manu, CA3MPR. And they were able to get together and meet at Matias's station and have some fun on HF. Together, they made about 1,535 QSOs. So just to conclude, here are some statistics about Yoda Month. It was a global success with over 100,000 QSOs logged. That our original goal was 100,000, so we broke that goal around Christmas time, which was really cool. Here in Region 2, we logged over 12,000 contacts, had a lot of fun, and some of the operators even used the special event call signs during contests, such as the CWTs, the phone phrase, the RAC winter contest, and the FT roundup. So it was a really a radioactive month here in Region 2, and it wouldn't have been as successful as it was without the Ham Nation viewers who turned on the radios to work the youngsters. So we really appreciate it, and thank you.
All right. Well, you heard all the success that we had with Yoda Month, and Bryant did a great job of putting all that together. And he got in there and took care of the logs and got all the QRZ.com pages going and made the schedule and kept track of everybody and did a fabulous job. In fact, he did such a good job, he may have to do it again. This was one of the things that we wanted to do with this was make people aware that Youth on the Air is alive and well and working. And we have this camp coming up in Cincinnati in June 21st through 26th. You've heard about it, and we're still fundraising the last little bit of the money. Our sponsors have donated over three-fourths of the money to do this, but the last bit is still being fundraised. And after being on this program and some other programs, we've come up with another $1,000. So we've got about $4,000 to go. And then we would also like to be able to add 10 more campers to our list. And it looks like we're going to fill up. So we'd really like to not just raise 4,000, but another six to make it an even 10,000 so that we can have 30 kids attend the camp instead of 20. So Steve KM9G contacted me and said, tell you what, I'll match dollar for dollar up to $4,000 until the end of February so that we can boost this up and get this going. He was really behind what we were doing and interested. And so thanks to Steve KM9G, we have that matching program starting today. So for every dollar that you donate toward the camp, Steve will kick in a dollar. So you'll actually get $2 out of your donation up to $4,000. And that's going to run through the end of February. So through the last day in February, donate to our cause and help us be able to bring all these young people in and let them experience ham radio in a fabulous way over at the Voice of America Museum over in Cincinnati. So you can do that by going to youthontheair.org and click on donate, and you see the page there. We can accept PayPal donations. We can accept them on GoFundMe on our fundraiser. And we can also, if you contact us, we can certainly take a check. We'll also be at Winterfest over in near St. Louis in Collinsville this weekend. We'll have a donation box there. So if you happen to be at Winterfest, you can drop your donation in the box. And all of that will be matched. And, of course, if you want to do the Amazon Smile thing, if you want to shop on Amazon, they will donate a portion of your purchase as well. So those are some ways that you can help us raise this last $4,000 to $10,000. We're hoping that we can make it $10,000 so that we can have room for more campers. So, Bob, back to you.
Well, what I love about all this, Neil, we're not talking about 50 or 100 contacts. We're talking about thousands. That is just so great. And these guys and gals, they put their heart into this project, and you have been the leader, of course. You got to have a leader. But the thing about that, once you got the rock pushed up the hill, they took it all the way down, and boy, have they gone with it. I'm so happy for everybody because it shows anybody that's not really in the know of what ham radio does, what kind of youth that we are attracting and what we give, the benefits that the youth gets from amateur radio. So thanks to you. I know you work really hard on this, and there's all kinds of the parents of these guys and gals are all right with it. So we appreciate all of that. And we'll look forward to seeing if we can help you build a little bit more this weekend when you're here in Collinsville, which is outside of St. Louis. It's only about 20 minutes from where I'm sitting, absolutely. So yeah. We'll look forward to seeing this weekend, and I appreciate you doing all this, Neil. Bryant, thanks for all your
work. We will have a nice little booth there. Just tested out the video tonight. We'll have a video running, the donation box. We'll have the kit that we're going to build. I'm going to be giving a couple of lightning talks about the camp, and then Sterling N0SSC and I will be doing the youth forum over there at Winterfest. So it should be a great time. Look forward to seeing you and seeing everybody over in Collinsville this weekend. And yeah, I mean, the youth that we have are just amazing. They do fabulous things. The youth are really the ones that are going to be presenting at this camp for the most part, with very few exception. We have young people doing the presenting and the teaching, as well as the learning. So, it's going to be a great time at the camp, and, you know, 129,000 contacts. Really?
That's amazing. Oh boy. Well, congratulations. And we'll look forward to seeing where you're going from here, my goodness. So I appreciate you being on with us and letting us know what's going on. And you always know you have a place here, and we'll look forward to the next report. So we'll see you this weekend, Neil.
All right.
Okay, Bryant, you take care, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Heil.
It doesn't get any better than that, Don Wilbanks. What do you think? Oh, man.
Yeah, just amazing. And and Bryant is just the best ambassador for youth and ham radio. Just when he was announced as the Young Ham of the Year winner a couple of years ago, and I got to meet him. Well, of course, I mean, I knew Bryant right after he got licensed, and I had been around him for 5-6 minutes, and I went over to the people in the Jefferson Amateur Radio Club here in New Orleans where he lived down here, and to his mom, and I said, you need to watch, this kid's going to be Young Ham of the Year in a couple of years. I see it. I mean, just, he had it. He was bit. And it's been so cool to watch him grow as a young man and as an amateur radio operator, and to get to know his family, his mom, his dad, every member of the family, just quality people, Bob. They really are.
Well, that's part of it, is that the parents have a lot to do with it, how they grew these children as they were coming up. And once they get to be into the teenagers, look out, because they know what they want to do. And that's something that a lot of teenagers don't. They don't have a direction. And
right.
These kids have a direction once they get into ham radio. Hey, I'm a poster child for that. Neil's the best poster child, because I think he was 6 years old.
Five. He was the youngest ham, I think, on the planet when he first got licensed at 5 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that right? Isn't that right, Neil?
Yeah, and now we're going to put a zero on that at the end of the year this year. So.
Well, congrats. And I'm right about this. I see it not only in ham radio, but in real life. some of these kids don't have a direction, and they're just kind of lost, and they go out and get into bad things. You get somebody that's got a direction, look out. You got yourself a Marty Sulloway, and you got yourself a Bryant, and you got Audrey and Jack, and on and on and on, only because they have a direction. So we're really excited to have that happen in amateur radio. So you come back, and we'll talk more about it. But we'll see you this weekend. I really appreciate you being here. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
See you soon.
All right. Well, Don, what an opening for you, huh?
Yeah. Tough act to follow. Bryant and Neil,
yeah.
I got to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. And I want to say, before we go any further, I want to say hello to our WTWW listeners. We've got kind of a cool thing. You know, they do the oldies now, the rock and roll at night, and they feature some really, really cool disc jockeys from back in the heyday of Top 40 radio. And tonight, Steve Hunter is going to be on. Steve was on CKLW in Detroit and WIXY Cleveland and many other big radio stations. So check out WTWW on the shortwave tonight, 5085. And, of course, WTWW.us, where you can make a request. A lot of ham radio related programming on there too. They're simulcasting Ham Nation right now. They of course run Amateur Radio Newsline and a whole lot more stuff. Email at WTWW is the address, the email address, if you'd like to get in touch with them. So why don't we go ahead and we'll get into Amateur Radio Newsline here in a second. But first, I want to tell you about FreshBooks. If you have a business, a small business, and you're looking for some accounting software, you're not going to get much better than FreshBooks. FreshBooks has streamlined the way that you do business by bringing together the tools that you need from pitching to getting paid. And that's what it's all about. Get invoices out the door faster. Create customizable proposals that will impress your clients. Give your client the ability to improve or approve a project with one click. View and respond to client feedback about an estimate. Preview estimates and quotes before sending. Easily add discounts. Send estimates in your preferred currency if you're doing international stuff. Create an email and estimate from anywhere with the FreshBooks mobile app. And you want to know how your business is performing? FreshBooks Reports has a ton of valuable information to show you exactly what you need to know at a glance. Color-coded breakdown of spending, summary of most recent activity, profit and loss report, sales tax summary, accounts aging report, payments collected report, and it just goes on and on and on. And don't forget, your private data is their top priority. It is protected by 256-bit SSL encryption. That's the gold standard in internet security. And FreshBooks is a cloud-based program and uses industry-leading secure servers. You can feel confident running your business knowing that you have their help and that you're protected. Seamlessly take the guesswork out of planning with FreshBooks estimates and reports. Visit FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter Ham Nation in the How Did You Hear About Us section. You'll get 30 days free. That is FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter Ham Nation. You'll get your 30 days free. Thank you, FreshBooks. We appreciate you. Now let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline, and we'll have a solo report from Dr. T. That's next. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2203, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. In the Philippines, hams activated quickly following the eruption of a volcano near Manila.
The eruption of the Taal volcano near the Manila metro area in the Philippines on January 12th spurred an activation of the Ham Radio Emergency Operations, or HERO, network of the Philippine Amateur Radio Association. As conditions worsened with power blackouts, hams became active on the 2-meter calling frequency and were joined by Para Club, DX1ACE, and others in their respective areas. Ashfall had begun to affect metropolitan Manila, even northern Quezon City. The southern cities were reported to be seriously impacted. DX1ACE began a relief effort to assist evacuees in the Batangas area evacuation centers. IARU Region 3 Disaster Committee Chairman Danny YB2TJV issued a notice that 40 meters was also being monitored. By January 13th, however, a change in wind direction had given Metro Manila a relief from the ashfall. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Following up on last week's top story, hams are on the scene in Puerto Rico, helping an island shaken by the latest tremors.
With thousands of people displaced following a 6.4 magnitude earthquake and a later 5.9 magnitude tremor, volunteers from the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or ARES, are in Puerto Rico assisting the American Red Cross. Although commercial telecommunications remained largely intact and most of the island's power was back on, hams were handling health and welfare traffic on VHF and UHF and at Red Cross headquarters as of midweek. The ARRL's Ham Aid Fund was also sending equipment. Puerto Rico Section Manager Oscar Resto, KP4RF, told the ARRL that radio operations are being used as a backup in case further quakes occur. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the quakes are among more than 500 to strike the Caribbean territory since late December. The recent quakes are said to have caused $110 million worth of damage. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
And from the Sultanate of Oman comes word of the death of its longtime leader, a notable ham radio operator.
An amateur radio operator who was also the longest tenured monarch in the Arab world has become a silent key. Sultan Qaboos bin Zayed, Alpha 41 Alpha Alpha, was credited with transforming the Sultanate into a modern developed state since becoming its ruler in 1970. The Royal Omani Amateur Radio Society, Alpha 47 Romeo Sierra, notes on its webpage that it was created in 1972 under his patronage. Various media outlets recalled him as a man of peace. A BBC report noted that although no cause of death was confirmed, the Sultan had been in Belgium in December seeking medical treatment, presumably for cancer. Sultan Qaboos, who died Friday, January 10th, was aged 79. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With John Williams, VK4JJW, Christian Kudnick, K0STH, Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have some fast solar wind that's from a coronal hole that's rotating in through the Earth's strike zone. And our sun continues to wake up by firing multiple solar storms. Those stories and more in the news this week. This space weather forecast is sponsored in part by Millersville University. Come get certified in broadcast space weather. Visit millersville.edu/swen. Our sun continues to wake up this week. As we look back at the 14th, you can see in this bright region right here, whammo, right there, it launches an Earth-directed solar storm. Now, this solar storm wasn't that big, so it didn't cause much of a ruckus at Earth. But, hey, who cares? I mean, we've been sitting at solar minimum for so long, I almost forgot what a solar storm looked like. And, as if to remind me, we had some bright region on the high latitudes in the northern hemisphere, and it fires off not one, but two solar storms. The last of the two solar storms was fired off less than a day ago. And this solar storm is also Earth-directed, but most likely, once again, it's going to be very small. So don't expect all that much. We might get a little bit of aurora at high latitudes over the next few days. And that's also going to be due to this coronal hole that's rotating in through the Earth strike zone now. This coronal hole is sending us a little bit of fast wind, kind of a pocket of fast wind. And again, it's going to make the aurora at high latitudes dance for a little while, but mid-latitude aurora photographers, you're going to have to sit this one out, but at least you can have a smile on your face because it looks like the sun is coming out of its slumber. Switching to our M-Flare threat meter, you can see over the past week, we've actually been boosting just a little bit in our X-ray flux. And that means by proxy, the solar flux is also boosted. As a matter of fact, the X-ray flux actually reached the B-Flare for a short little while before dipping back down. This is due to some bright regions on the Earth-facing disk that actually, some of them have been solar cycle 25 bright regions. So this is really good news. But we aren't seeing any real flare activity as of yet. That will come. It's not coming yet, but it is good news in the sense that we're staying in the low 70s for solar flux, and that means marginal radio propagation on Earth's day side, and these conditions will likely continue over the next week. Switching to our solar storm conditions, You can see back on the 9th, we actually did reach some active conditions due to some fast solar wind from a small coronal hole that was rotating in through the Earth strike zone. It didn't last all that long, and we pretty much stayed at unsettled conditions, and then after that began to quiet down and quiet down and quiet down some more. And there's been a little bit of pockets of fast solar wind that kind of bump us back up to unsettled conditions for just a moment or so and back down. And this is actually good for you GPS users at low latitudes. This slightly unsettled conditions actually helps your GPS reception. So you should be pretty happy to see this kind of thing. Now we're actually beginning to get some fast wind again. So you're seeing the unsettled conditions ramp back up. And most likely this is going to be more of the same. We'll probably stay at unsettled conditions here over the next couple days. We have a small chance of active conditions, but most likely things will stay pretty much as they are. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are getting hit with that fast solar wind from that small coronal hole that's rotating in through the Earth strike zone right now. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions, but we could see up to about a 40% chance of a major storm. But at that intensity level, it won't last all that long before it begins to die out. Now, mid-latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled conditions with up to about a 30% chance of active conditions. And again, this should die out reasonably quickly and keep things pretty much unsettled. But then we get that little mini solar storm that's going to hit us probably around the 25th. And at high latitudes, it might give us another chance for some storming for not for very long. And then at mid latitudes, we could once again get a small chance for active conditions. But most likely, it's going to remain unsettled. And this is just going to be something that's going to dance for high latitudes. So you aurora photographers, if you're up at the high latitudes, keep your batteries charged. You might actually have a pretty nice week looking forward. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to solar flares. We basically have a spotless sun right now, so we have no risk for radio blackouts, and that should make you GPS users very happy. But we do have a few bright regions on the sun, and that is boosting the solar flux on Earth's day side. We are sitting in the low 70s right now, which means marginal radio propagation for amateur radio operators and emergency responders. And as we get to the end of this week and up into next week, you should see the solar flux numbers rise just a little bit. That's going to be due to that bright region that's rotating into Earth view from the sun's far side. So we could be in the mid-70s by next week. So you have something to look forward to. Now, also, because it is still solar minimum, even though the sun is beginning to wake up, we still have a higher impingement of cosmic ray flux than we normally would have. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high altitudes and high latitudes, you are in the marginal range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is continuing to show signs of life. We are now beginning to get little mini solar storms being fired at Earth. And considering we haven't really seen any in quite some time, it's really nice to see them again. Now, along with some fast solar wind being sent to us from a coronal hole that's passing through the Earth strike zone right now, aurora photographers, if you're at high latitudes, you could get some decent shows here throughout this coming week. Now, also, these solar storms, they're not firing any big radio bursts or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about radio comms for any satellite launches or anything like that right now. But amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you guys should be really loving life because we're still sitting at the marginal range for radio propagation on Earth's day side. We haven't dipped back into the poor range, and that's because that solar flux is just hanging in there. On top of that, you're going to get a boost at the end of this week and into the next week. We could actually be seeing solar flux going into the mid-70s. It's like the balmy 70s. So enjoy some decent radio propagation on Earth's day side, probably all into next week. Now, you GPS users, well, you know, we have a small solar storm hitting right now. It's not that big a deal. It's only keeping us at unsettled conditions, and that actually is good news for you because that actually helps to stabilize that upper atmosphere. You just love these weak solar storms. So as long as that continues, it should give you some decent reception even at low latitudes, as long as you stay away from the dawn dust terminators and you stay away from aurora. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Always good stuff. I say it every week, but it's true. The best way to get her up to the minute almost information is on Twitter. She's a great follow at Tamitha Scove, and spaceweatherwoman.com is great as well. And she has a YouTube channel. You can go back and look at previous reports if there was something you missed. Also, I had to edit a bunch of stuff out of this one. There's a whole lot more information on this report. Just look for her on YouTube, and you can see it all in its entirety. So thank you, Dr. T. I want to talk to you a little bit about DX Engineering. I got the new catalog here, and it says here on the front, we're all Elmers, and that is absolutely true. These guys are experts in ham radio. They know what they're talking about. And if you're looking for an amplifier, this is the place to go right here at DX Engineering. They're always looking for the latest products that can help hams improve their stations. And they're very happy to have in stock new amplifiers from AECOM and RM Italy. And coming soon to DX Engineering, RF Kit's new amp to help you start the new decade by upgrading your on-air performance. AECOM's 700S. Solid state 1.8 to 54 megahertz linear amp is the latest addition to their state-of-the-art lineup of HF and 6-meter amplifiers. It's rugged, compact, it's lightweight, and it makes a great choice for field operations and de-expeditions. You'll love the 700 watts of output, that's PEP on sideband or CW, has an intuitive, easy-to-follow screen menu which simplifies operation, no special skills required when changing frequency bands. Full output operation, 700 watts, only requires a maximum of 40 watts in drive. The 700S is compatible with all available transceiver models on the market. And DX Engineering is really pumped to add RM Italy's BLA350 Plus 1.8 to 30 megahertz linear amp to their lineup. It's compact. It's fully automatic. It delivers up to 300 watts output with less than 12 watts input on 160 through 10. The BLA 350 Plus can be used on all narrow band modes of transmission, including CW, AM, FM, RTTY, and FT8. It's available in 120 and 240 volt versions with appropriate fuses and AC power cords. And from RF Kit, the solid state RF2KS linear amplifier, exclusive to DX Engineering in North America. This German made 1500 watt unit delivers excellent signal quality, a lot more for serious contesters and DX chasers. Features full legal limit capabilities across 160 through 6. Updated speed-controlled, low-noise fans, fast pin diode, transmit-receive switching for extra quiet operation, internal automatic antenna tuner with unlimited memories, and a 7-inch color touchscreen. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog. Shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And you, too, can put the power of these Elmers in your shack. They're literally just a phone call or an email away pretty much any time. I've met them, and they're great people. If you ever get the chance, go up to Talmadge, Ohio, and go through the store there. Amazing company, amazing people, and we're so happy to have DX Engineering in our corner. We're also happy to have Valerie back tonight, and she's going to tell us about her cruise. Valerie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Don. You know, I got to tell you, whenever you do those FreshBooks ads, I get real weak in the knees when you talk accounting terms.
Well, yeah, you're a numbers gal, yeah. Yeah.
Also, you know, my prayers go out to those people in Puerto Rico. I know after Hurricane Maria hit, a lot of the homes that were wooden structures were completely destroyed by the hurricane. So it just left the cement structure homes. And now those are all destroyed by the earthquake. So these guys just can't cut a break. And my heart and prayers go out to everybody in Puerto Rico. Yeah, I was on a cruise. Yeah, I had to get away from this cold weather. And Jerry and I were lucky enough to score a bridge tour. It's not really ham radio related, so I'm just going to give you the very, very condensed version. I got the full version on my YouTube channel if you want to see it, but go ahead and roll tape. And then I also got to play in the Grand Caymans. I was on the air, and then I got something special to announce at the end. So get her started. Victor? Thank you.
GPSS is basically our communication system to the outside world. To the outside world. So we have MFHF, which is a system which is going through 200 nautical miles. And nautical miles are slightly different than land miles. So basically they can reach up to 500 kilometers. You can reach up to 30 miles.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this one.
All over the world if you navigation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I'm just curious what band or frequency that this one's in, though.
This one. Yeah. Let's see. It's different. They're scanning, for example.
Okay.
They're scanning all around.
Yeah.
And then over here, the system, this one is Inmarsat. Basically, what that does is sending an email kind of to a satellite, from the satellite to where we designated to go.
So after the bridge tour in Jamaica, next stop was Grand Cayman, where Jerry and I tendered ashore and were met up by ZF1EJ Eaton and his new bride, Marites. We went to their home / ham shack, and I was able to operate as ZF2VH. I applied for the call sign a year ago, but we never made it ashore. So I was able to use that before it expired. I operated on 17 meters. We only had a couple of hours, so I got on 17 phone, and I used that log periodic you see on the upper left-hand side of your screen. And it was great fun to be the DX and hear how well propagation is with only 100 watts in the Caribbean. And here's a little clip of me operating from Eaton's Ham Shack.
7388, this is Zulu Foxtrot 2, Victor Hotel, QRZ. Alpha Bravo 5, November X-ray, is that a roger? Snowing in Texas, well, it's beautiful here in the Grand Caymans. You're 5'9 as well, Dennis. Nice to meet you, and you take care, okay? Thank you. Zulu Fox 2, Victor Hotel, QRZ.
So hopefully I got you guys all in the cruising spirit, because there is a ham radio cruise coming up, and it's next January 2021. It's a 7-day Western Caribbean cruise aboard a Carnival cruise ship, and they're going from Galveston to Jamaica, Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and then back to Galveston with a couple of sea days. They're going to have seminars on the sea days. They're going to have 2 HF stations set up on each side of the ship, port and starboard. And they're going to put the antennas on the back of the ship, and you'll be able to work DX from the ship. You can also use your personal handy talkies on the Carnival Vista while you're at sea. So if you're interested, you're going to want to send an email to mypinmoneytravel@yahoo.com. That's mypinmoneytravel@yahoo.com. Or give Debbie Rumfield, N5DSR. She's coordinating this whole thing. Give her a phone call at 832-656-0731. Hope to see you aboard. And like I said, you can see the full bridge tour with all the audio and everything. I just wanted to condense it because it's not ham radio related, but it is very interesting to see how they operate that ship. And everything's so computerized now. No more maps or handwritten logbooks. Everything's all computerized. But so go check it out on my YouTube channel. And this week, I just want to talk about some contests coming up this weekend. We got 160 CW contest this weekend and also Winter Field Day. And then next weekend, we got 3 CUSO parties. We got Vermont CUSO Party, Minnesota, and the British Columbia CUSO Party. So make sure you get on the air and help them out and get some more counties in your log. So that's all I've got for this week. So I'm going to head it over to George, see what he's got going on. George?
Well, thanks, Val. It looks like y'all had a great time there. And I have never been on a cruise yet. One of those ham radio cruises sounds like a good place to start, though, for sure. Well, tonight we are going to talk a little bit about, well, it'll be our first lesson on the Arduino Uno. You know, I asked a few weeks ago, would anyone be interested in kind of learning how to get started with them programming from the very beginning, and got a lot of good responses to that. So this will be the introductory episode for tonight. We talked a little bit about them already and what they are. You can go back and check out the last couple episodes of Ham Nation and learn more about that. Essentially, It's these little microcontroller devices right here. You know, they are very handy, and they will replace a lot of logic circuitry that normally you would have had to done with just separate components. Packs a lot of punch, and essentially just one little chip right here. So tonight we began that. I already mentioned that the things you would need, number one, would be an Arduino Uno, and that is this device right here. This is the Arduino Uno. You can get it at arduino.cc, and you can also buy these. It's open source, so there are a number of manufacturers. I recommend getting an original Arduino, though. There are a lot of clones out there that you can get real cheap. We talked about that last week. But there is a USB chip on here, a USB to serial converter, and there's the USB port. That's how you program this chip, is all coming through that USB there. Some of the clone devices out there use a different chip, and it is not compatible with the drivers that are available. That changed some point back. So I still recommend the original Arduino devices here. You can get it at arduino.cc. You can also buy them from a lot of other places, Adafruit, Jamco, just, you know, all the major manufacturers or parts distributors carry them. And there are a few other items that you would probably need. Well, one for sure, and that is a USB type A to type B cable. This is the same type of cable that fits a lot of different items. You may already have one of these on hand. You know, one side just looks like the regular USB. The other side is the one that's more squared off. That's the end that fits in the Arduino. You'll definitely want that if you're going to program it. You'll also want, well, to do the things we're going to do here, the experiments, you'll need some 10K ohm resistors, just regular 10K ohm resistors, quarter watt, eighth watt, either of those would be fine. You'll also want to get some 150 ohm resistors because we're going to use the 10Ks for pull-up and pull-down resistors. But we also want to get a few LEDs, and the 5 volts coming out of that Arduino is a little much to drive a typical LED. So if you get some 150 ohm resistors, we'll be using those in series with the LEDs so that we'll drop down the voltage and current and won't burn out our LEDs or our Arduino in the process. So I'm going to say get about 10 of the 10K ohm resistors, get about 5 of the 150 ohm resistors, maybe 5 LEDs. You're also going to want a breadboard, experimenter's board. This is one right here. You can get them that have the terminals on them, or you can get them just standalone, just the breadboard portion right here. You know, this is those little boards that you can plug components into and jumper wires and connect things together. You'll be able to do these experiments without that, but it's really going to be a lot more easier to do if you actually have a breadboard here. These things are real cheap. You can find them all over the place. To go with that breadboard, you're also going to want some jumper leads. And those are just, you know, little jumpers here. If you can see it, there's a little pin on the back of them that will plug in and fit into that breadboard. Now, you can use just solid gauge wire if you want to for that, but these little jumpers are cheap enough and pretty easy to find, so I recommend you use them, although I've used old telephone wire before. I've even used Cat 5 cable, although it's a little small, really, to be plugging into a breadboard. And that's the main items that you'll want to do this. There are a few optional things that would be handy as well. One is a little wall wart power supply, 7 to 12 volts DC, at least 200 milliamps. I might go more, you know, I might go up to an amp or so. It really depends on what you're going to connect to that Arduino is to whether or not you need more current. But I have done it, use this with some small devices. It's just a 200 milliamp and it worked fine. So I would get a little more than that, but, you know, just for the things we're going to do, 200 will be plenty here. Another optional item you might want is just some little push-button switches that you can plug in to the experimenter board here. You can get some of the little ones that just plug straight onto it, or you can get any kind of push-button. Maybe you've already got some. Just solder you some wires to it that you'll be able to plug into the board here. That'll be sufficient. Let's see, four toggle switches. That's just, you know, the regular little single-pole double-throw switches. You'll put some jumper leads on it so that you can plug them into the board. Now, these are not required items. These are just a few optional items here. And you might want to get some, you know, test lead clips, just some little wires with alligator clips or the little clip-on clips that you can hook around a component and test. Those could be handy to have as well. I've got a list here that shows some of these items. If I've got a video here to get you started. This will show us installing the software to program the Arduino with. So if we can look at that now, I think that'll be a little help. There are two main options to program an Arduino, and there are third-party options as well. We're going to use one provided by Arduino themselves. Go to arduino.cc, Software, Downloads. You'll see an Arduino web editor. That is one way to do it, and you don't have to install the editor on your computer if you do it this way. I actually have not used it. Your code is stored in the cloud when you do that. I like to keep everything on my own hard drive, so I'm going to download the Arduino IDE. Now, it's available for Mac OS X, 32 or 64-bit Linux, and the ARM versions of Linux as well. Of course, we're going to be using it on Windows here. I'm not going to use the app. I'm going to use the Windows installer. Here you can contribute to the Arduino software, folks, to encourage them to continue the development of Arduino and kind of help them out a little bit. Once you've downloaded it, execute it. You'll install the Arduino software, the USB driver. We'll create a start menu shortcut and a desktop shortcut, so it'll be easy to launch at this point. And we'll associate .ino files with the Arduino editor. And it'll choose a path to install it at. It'll take a few moments for everything to install and set up properly. And it's completed. It did prompt us to install the drivers, and we did install them. Now we've got a desktop shortcut that we can launch Arduino from. The Arduino editor does use Java SE, so you'll have to allow access for that. And we're not going to do it on a public network. We'll just do it here on the private. And there's the editor right there. Let's enlarge it so we can see it a little bit better. We can also change some preferences in here so that things will appear the way we want them. We'll increase the font size here a little bit so that you can see what's going on a little easier. Now, there are updates available for some of the libraries. I didn't choose to install them right then. It will come back and ask me that again when I run this later, and I'll have the opportunity to do it at that point. It's okay now to plug in the USB cable to the Arduino Uno. And we'll want to go here under Tools. We'll select the board, which is, in this case, we've got a Arduino Genuino Uno. And we'll also choose the COM port that is on. Right here, COM port 3 looks to be the one. Now, you could look in Device Manager on Windows and look at the various COM ports there. When you unplug your Arduino, the COM port that it's using will disappear. When you plug the Uno back in, you'll see that COM port pop up again in case you're having problems identifying which one. Now the Arduino is ready to begin. This one is set up so that we can communicate with it. We've created no code at this point, but we do have things set up and ready to begin next time. So there you go. Follow along at home and learn how to program these little Arduinos. It's not that difficult. We're going to learn more about it. Pretty simple. I mean, if you've ever done any programming at all, even maybe if you took basic programming 20 or 30 years ago or longer, all of that's applicable. It's very similar. I'm going to show you exactly what you need to know to get started. And, well, we've talked about it before. And that's lesson number one. So the items I mentioned earlier, collect those up, particularly the first ones there. You'll want them. Of course, the number one thing you'll want is the USB cable because the Arduino does not come with one of those. And that's it for this week. I believe, well, let's take a break, get a message from our fine sponsors here, and come right back. New year, new savings. Bring in the new year loud and clear with some of ICOM's most innovative products. Check out the ICOM America website for current promotions on ICOM 7610, 7300, and 9700. Start the year off right with the high-performance IC7610, a direct sampling transceiver that will change the world's definition of SDR. It has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. With the IC7300, ICOM is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. High-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design that will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC9700 was built with the VHF-UHF weak signal operator in mind. Faster processors, higher input gain, higher display resolution, and a cleaner signal. ICOM's IC9700 is the pinnacle of perfection. 4.3-inch color touchscreen, dual watch operation, and full duplex operation in satellite mode. Real-time, high-speed spectrum scope and waterfall display, voice recording playback functions with SD memory card, supports CW, AM, FM, single-sideband, RIDI, and D-Star DV and DD modes. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information and current promotions on ICOM 7610, 7300, and 9700. And ICOM invites you to enter in the weekly drawings for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. You can register at ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation, and you'll automatically be entered in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For January, that new radio is the ICOM ID5100A Deluxe Dual Band Dual Watch Mobile with touchscreen. It's FM or D-Star Dual Watch Receivers. Large or 5.5-inch touchscreen display, built-in GPS, DV and FM repeater list function, SD memory card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an available Bluetooth module, and you can download an Android app as well. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now here's Amanda to find out what's going on in the chat room this week.
Well, hello, George, and everybody else on the show. Thank you, viewers, for being here tonight. My first comment is, this is for Don. Happy belated birthday to Tyler.
Yeah, thank you, Tyler. N7TMW's golden birthday was Monday, 20 on the 20th, and it was really cool. My friend Aaron Pierce, who owns an FBO at the Hammond, Louisiana airport, flew his Mooney into Picayune and took us to lunch, and then we took Tyler up. It was his third airplane ride, actually. He had flown commercial back in 2009 when we went to D.C., and in 2007 was his first airplane ride, and another one of Aaron's airplanes, where I was actually pilot in command. But for the flight on Monday, Tyler got to be pilot in command. So he got to fly the airplane. We flew over the house, and it was just a great day all the way around. Went to dinner with Dawn and Tyler afterwards, and yeah, it was a great day. So thanks, Amanda.
It really looked like it was fantastic, and I think he really enjoyed it, and he's such a good kid, man.
Yeah, you know, he changed his Facebook profile picture to him by the airplane, and I was totally shocked by that. So, yeah, I think he had a good time. If he changed his Facebook profile pic, yeah, he had a great time.
Absolutely. My next question is kind of talking about Arduinos. So, Don, I'll send it back to you. Do you use Arduinos for anything?
No, I've got a couple of Raspberry Pis, but as far as trying to program them, I have never done that. I did, however, I borrowed an Arduino from the robotics program at Tyler's High School because I needed the Arduino to program something else. I needed to flash. I needed to flash the ROM chip on one of my Raspberry Pis. I think it was to upgrade it or something. And I borrowed the Arduino from his robotics class to do that. But I don't own an Arduino. I own a couple of Raspberry Pis. And I really don't know anything about programming. But it looks pretty easy. And it's something that I would love to get into and maybe try one of these days when I have some free time.
Same here, all the way around. We have quite a few Raspberry Pis that run some repeaters and some different nodes and things like that. But never have we ever played with one. Valerie, what about you? Do you and Jerry ever play around with that stuff?
Nope, we don't. Don't own any Raspberry Pis or Arduinos, so no.
I hear you. So, George, you use Arduinos for a lot of things. I'm kind of curious, what's your favorite application for it?
Oh, it's hard to tie down to just one. Probably the one I use the most, though, is a little device up here that I think maybe we looked at it here recently, the little Arduino antenna switch that I made. It connects to my HF rig. You know, there's voltage that'll come out one of those pins, so the accessory port on the back of most rigs. And my ICOM has that. And I just send the little signal. Anytime I turn on my rig, the Arduino receives the voltage that's coming from the rig, and it knows I turn on the rig. And I've got one of those nice rotary mechanical coax switches that one side is connected to the ground and the other side is connected on out to my antenna. So anytime the rig is not on, that switch is rotated into position where it's, short to ground. So if lightning struck, you know, it's not coming in the antenna into the rig because the rig's at ground potential. And when I turn the power on the rig, it automatically turns that switch for me, and then the antenna's connected to the rig because, yeah, I don't always think to unscrew the antenna. And living down here in the South, that's something you need to do. I couldn't find anything that did that, so this just seemed like a good application. So that's the one I use the most, although I've built a lot of other stuff with them.
Absolutely, and I know that you guys play with these a lot on the amateur logic. So would Tommy have a favorite?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know what his favorite was either. There's just so many things you can do with them. The difference between this Arduino and a Raspberry Pi, Raspberry Pi is a full little single board computer. You use an SD memory card on it. It has an operating system. When you turn it on, it boots off of that SD memory card, and you run an operating system like OS X or Windows. The Raspberry Pi doesn't have that. This is more of an embedded controller. all the information to boot this up is located right on this chip. You just apply the power and it boots up and it runs the program that you had put in it. And that's all it does. It won't surf the internet unless you, you know, had hooked the proper things to it to do that. But typically that's not what you use it for. You use it for more things that you want to be robust, because that's all this will do is what you've programmed it to do. So you really don't have to worry about it crashing like you do with, a board that's got an operating system on it.
Absolutely. The one thing I know about Raspberry Pis is that a lot of times the SD cards all of a sudden get corrupt, and that's very, very, very frustrating. But speaking of Pi, our chat room can't leave it alone. So they've been mentioning every kind of Pi in the world. So now we're all hungry. And speaking of that, Valerie, I have to say, tell us about Cruise Food. Isn't it like not the best in the world?
It's the most fantastic. We do Holland America because we just love their food. I've tried a couple other cruise lines and we're a little slower paced on our activities and Hal's a little older. It's more our age. So they have the 5-star restaurant you pay extra for, and we always do it at least once on the cruise because they had this one Grand Marnier chocolate lava cake, best dessert I ever had in my life. I talked the chef into giving me a recipe. I made it and it's so good. I mean, yeah, that's the best part. Gained 6 pounds. Woo.
That's not bad at all. Nope.
No.
It sounds amazing. I would love to go on a cruise just for the food alone. Don, you ever been on a cruise?
Yeah, it's been a long time ago. We took a cruise for our 10th wedding anniversary, which we've been married 36 years, 35 years this year. So, yeah, it's been 25 years ago or more. But, it was a small boat before the big boats came to New Orleans. And it was just a Grand Cayman, Cozumel little cruise and Jamaica. And, yeah, it was the best time. And the food was, like she said, just outrageous. My favorite spot on the boat was at night when the sun was going down, sitting on the stern of the boat, the very back of the boat on the fantail, watching the wake go out behind the boat with my feet propped up on the rail, a cigar in one hand and a glass of brandy in the other. I was set. That was my night.
That sounds amazing. Val, what was your favorite part besides the food?
You know, we went with a bunch of friends of ours, and so that was always, it's just fun hanging out with them, doing the trivia contests and stuff like that. We just had a ball. We went to Key West. We had a blast in Key West, ran into another ham, you know, and then we met Eaton and his wife on Grand Cayman. So it was just fun seeing everybody and sleeping in, getting an afternoon nap every day, having someone do your laundry and make your room every day. So it was nice. Hopefully, I mean, if you guys haven't done the cruise, they have that ham radio cruise next January. So that should be fun.
I'm telling you, I'm almost sold already. They do your laundry and you get good food. Like that's all I needed to hear. And drinks. All right. I know. Okay. We got to wrap this up, you guys. So let me go over the nets tonight. And we've got D-Star Net on 14 Charlie, DMR on 31012. No 40-meter net yet, but Kevin's getting his shack into order, and I think he's going to be on maybe next week. So, and then we have the 75-meter net on 3905. So join Steve W7UDI there if you can. So with that, who's wrapping it up tonight?
I don't know. Oh, am I doing it? Okay.
Beasley Wood, but now. He's asleep. If you can see him behind me.
Zoom out.
You got to zoom out. You'll see him.
Cool.
Yep. He's covered by my NV9 thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've had a good show tonight. I've learned a lot about the Arduinos, and it was there he is. There's Beasley. And it was great to have the Yoda Month wrap-up with Bryant and Neil. And, just a really good show tonight. A couple of technical snafus, but, hey, that is live television. And great to have Valerie back, too. So No telling what we'll have for you next week, but I'm sure it'll be great because that'll be after the Winterfest up in St. Louis. And I'm sure Bob will have a lot of nice pictures and video and stories and circles and arrows and paragraphs on the back explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And you're old if you get that. If you get that reference. So with that, we'll say goodnight and we'll see you all next week. So for everybody involved with Ham Nation, all of our sponsors, and of course Victor and everybody else back at Twit, we'll say 7-3 and we love you and we'll see you next week. So good night, everybody. Bop, da, da, da. Bop, da, da, da. Bop.